Do non-living things have rights? A Harvard professor says it's time to consider the rights of robots. Geneticist George Church is author of a recent op-ed titled A Bill of Rights for the Age of Artificial Intelligence. It calls for a change in how we treat beings with artificial intelligence as they start to behave in a more human way. George Church is with us now here in the studio. Thanks, George, for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
So in your op-ed, you point out that our idea of who deserves rights is constantly evolving. Even the phrase, all men are created equal, didn't always apply to everyone. Why is now the right time to consider the rights of AI, artificial intelligence?
It may be early for actual implementation, but it's not too early for discussing where it could go and how quickly it could go, because sometimes these things arrive much faster than we think. We need to pay attention because, you know, we could get into a situation where we become reactive rather than proactive.
What do you mean by that?
Some scientist or activist decides to intentionally create a device or a hybrid system that is intentionally manipulative. It makes us feel that it's sentient, that it has needs, that it has wants, that it has rights. And the thing that we're comparing it to, it's not necessarily the average human being. It's the whole range of human beings that currently have rights. This includes comatose humans have rights. Extremely mentally challenged humans have rights. And so there's this range that could easily overlap an intentionally engineered system.
Has AI crossed the threshold yet, in your view?
Probably not, but I think we are extremely close. You know, when you ask, you know, Google and Siri and Alexa questions, there is a definite feeling that they know more than you do. There are many things that could be done that would accelerate the rate of change. It just depends where the financial and societal motivations are. I think they're very high for being able to communicate with non-humans. And I think the pressure, emotional, financial, and so forth, is so high that I think we're going to see a higher than normal exponential.
Do you think it's going to happen without us knowing about it?
I think somebody will notice. Somebody noticed the frailty of the World Trade Center before 9/11, but that doesn't mean that helps us. What we need to have is discussions like this where a large number of people are thinking out of the box and where this could go.
So the IBM supercomputer Watson winning on Jeopardy and Alexa answering our own questions in many of our own homes doesn't quite cross that threshold yet for you then?
I think it shows how close we are. It shows how easily we want to believe and how useful these things could be, but probably not yet to the point where the robots deserve any set of rights, much less equal rights.
What would these rights look like from your point of view? What would they protect?
I think one of the reasons that there is kind of a research double standard where we can do these experiments on robots or animals, but we can't do them on humans, is because of differences in perceived emotional intelligence or intelligence. But I think we're likely to become more and more sympathetic, and we will increasingly be limited in working on machine intelligence because they'll have the same ethical issues that we have with human intelligence. Once we get to the point where there would be an advantage of working on machines versus humans is exactly the point where the machines are going to be asking for equal rights.
You've said that there are a few robots who can recognize themselves in the mirror and recognize their own voices. Is that enough to say that artificial intelligence can be as self-conscious as a human?
They're more self-conscious than some humans, and it means that on an exponential curve, they can get better and better. They could conceivably get to a level of self-consciousness or consciousness that we can't even comprehend. At some point, you have to say, since we don't know what's going on within a human mind, sometimes not even our own, if they fake it good enough, if it quacks like a duck, it looks like a duck, you know, there comes a point where you have to treat it like one.
You know, the reality for a lot of human beings who are listening to us talk about this is that they're used to considering the dangers of AI thanks to popular movies like, you know, the Terminator series and Arnold Schwarzenegger, where it's robots versus humanity. I'm wondering what you say to people who fear treating AI too much like humans, you know, the us versus them mentality.
I often say how important it is to be cautious about all new technologies and where they're going, have discussions about that. So I try not to be reassuring, but I think it's also important to ask, how are all the ways this could play out? A lot of the out-of-the-box thinking that we actually depend upon for progress in the world is still beyond them. Even recognizing, say, family members, which a 5-year-old can do very easily in a crowd, is quite challenging.
Will it benefit humans to better acknowledge and protect the rights of AI?
Probably, if we do it right. Certainly, you can imagine various scenarios where we become callous to certain types of experiments. Just like, I mean, this is one of the worries of the excesses during World War II. It erodes your morality to do certain things. And if you get used to doing them on people you don't consider people or machines you don't consider to have equal rights, it can creep into other adjacencies. So you start broadening the number of people or machines or hybrid systems that you don't treat fairly.
George Church, professor of genetics at Harvard University, thanks a lot for coming in for this discussion. Very interesting.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be here.